This is just a quick test. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Hi, welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, May 18th, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening in on Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. We also have Bible studies every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Right here in the Start Meeting Room. This week's study is on the Eagles of Matthew 24. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side, on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also consider taking our 90-hour court course, Access in the Common Law. You can find the link on our front page and in the description below. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to start off tonight with our scripture reading. Tonight's scripture reading is going to be in Romans. We're reading chapter 8, and it is being read by Alexander Scorby. Romans 8.
Chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, Jen, do we have any announcements or any questions tonight?
Oh, we have a little of both, John.
Okay.
The announcement is about the 14th Red Pill Expo that's sponsored by the Red Pill University. It's going to be held in Las Vegas, Nevada on July 11th and 12th, 2026, and it's free to live stream. Now, if you want to attend it in person, there is a nominal charge, but you can live stream it while the conference is on, full 2 days, plus you have another month after that where you can replay anything you like. So it's a real steal since it's free. And I noticed when looking at it tonight that they also have the last Red Pill from the 13th one and the 12th one and the 11th one, with all of the speakers and the recordings for those three as well, which are free. It's something that they have a real interesting group of speakers for. I know they have some speaking on health, on chlorine dioxide, and some of these things. I haven't seen the exact lineup of the speakers yet. I don't know if it's out. But it's something for being free. I've done it before. I spent the whole weekend listening to the speakers, and it's well worth the effort. In terms of questions for tonight...
Well, where would they go online? What's the website?
Yes. The website is https://redpilluniversity.org/expo-homepage/. And that has all of the information stored there in various different web pages.
Did you put that out in the newsletter this week?
Yes, it's in the top of the newsletter.
People can find the link there, too.
Yes, they just have to copy it and paste it in their browser or their little... I don't know what you do if you have a cell phone. I never use them, so can't help you there.
Well, people can search the web and watch things. So
yeah, right. Okay. We had a couple leftovers kind of from last week, John. One of them was the Redemption Center. You remember that came up?
Yeah, and we didn't know exactly what that was, I didn't think.
Yeah, I Googled it, and about the only thing I could come up with were these, green stamps and things in the past where they had redemption centers.
I remember that, and there's also bottles of redemption places.
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of them out there. But that's all I could find, so I'm sure there's some other...
Yeah, there must be that relates to, liberty or something, all right, so we still don't know what that is.
No. I'll send an email. In fact, I think I did send an email to the fellow that submitted to see if he would expound on it, but so far I haven't got anything back.
Okay.
And then...
Before we start taking more questions that you've got, the queue is open if anybody wants to get into the queue. It's if you're on a phone, it's a *6 and a 1. If you're coming in on an Apple browser, there should be a button there to enter the queue. Okay, go ahead, John.
This one is, I would like to file the SCOTUS presentment to the Massachusetts court. I've been sued 4 times in that never had unlimited subject matter jurisdiction while being denied trial by jury for every proceeding as an objection to all of this court's void AB initio rulings against me. How could I send this SCOTUS presentment via PDF without the draft embedded into the file? Thank you for any directions.
Okay, now they were being sued, or was this some kind of a case the government brought up on them? Did they make mention?
No. No, she just wanted to send a copy of that to these, to the court, to the Massachusetts court.
And does it say what court she was in first? I mean, that.
No,
why,
just Massachusetts court.
What does he want to send a copy of?
The SCOTUS presentment that we're sending out.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, you can, right now, we still have the draft up here. I did get a lot of corrections. Well, I wouldn't say a lot, but I got some corrections. I've made most of them. I got another email or two to go through and make some more corrections. So this isn't actually the one that's going to be filed yet. And it's right here. It says grand jury presentment to the U.S. Supreme Court. Read the draft. SCOTUS presentment PDF. But again, I'm going to be updating this tomorrow. And the word draft will be gone. It'll be in the same place. Draft won't be there no more. And you'll know that it's the original one. My plan is to start printing this out tomorrow, so if anybody else still has any corrections, they can still mail it to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll just take it from there. I know some... there was a point brought up early. Someone had brought the point up. I guess they didn't understand what maybe an exposition is of our presentment. And it's a systematic interpretation or explanation, usually in written or of a specific topic. You know, the presentment ultimately, the extraordinary presentment, is really only about 14 pages, I think it is. It starts on page 7, and it ends, so it's 12 pages right here. That is actually the presentment, okay? The exposition of our presentment, because the point was made, and it's a good point, and we had discussed this some time ago, especially when we were planning to do this, that we want to stay focused and really deal with the Rules Enabling Act particular, which shut down the courts. And that really is what the presentment is all about, and what has taken place by the federal judiciary, how they have denied us due process in our courts. But again, the exposition of our presentment is an extension of all the details and the problems and the situations and the things that they have done, or bringing into light what things really are, like the right to practice court, practice law, and faithful performance, which is what's required by judges that give us faithful performance. They're supposed to adhere to that, but they don't. They don't. And the individual that we just heard a little bit about wants to send, I guess, a copy of this presentment. They could do so. And it's going to be about Right now it's 104 pages, but there's going to be a little more of an extension on that. I think it's going to end up being about 120 pages, maybe roughly. I don't know exactly yet. And like I said, I want to try to start printing that out tomorrow. So if anybody has any other corrections to offer, try to do so by tomorrow morning when I'll be finishing up on the final details of this paper. But the key thing is the denial of due process. And it seems that this individual who wanted a jury trial was denied a jury trial. That's a denial of due process. We have an unalienable right protected by the Seventh Amendment, as a matter of fact. And we're under common law, which requires, of course, court by jury. Of course, both sides could agree to allow a judge to hear the case if that's what they want to do. But if any individuals in the court want a trial by jury, it's their unalienable right to have so. But they've abrogated that. That's the reason of our paper. Before we get back to the questions, just make a point or two. You know, the key thing of, again, getting back to this is that it is a problem with due process. They have closed down the courts of justice. And, you know, we do need support by the people. We need support by the people to get this paper out everywhere and anywhere. You should send it to your sheriff. You should send it to your representative in Washington. I mean, we got a couple of key individuals, you know, senators and congressmen we're sending it to. Obviously, we can't send it to 430 members of Congress or 100 members of the Senate. But you can. If you send it to your representative, if everybody was to send it to their representative, we can get quite a few of these people. And they should be hearing this because it's an education. They have not been educated in the law. They have no clue on what America is all about. They really don't. These people that we've elected to put them into power and authority to represent us, they don't know the Constitution. Maybe they know a little bit about it, but they really don't know it. They don't know what due process is. They don't know that we're a Christian nation. They don't know the law that we're built upon. They think we're under Roman law. That's what the lawyers have taught everybody. They think we're a democracy. And the only way to correct this is by bringing to light, their attention to the light of the things that we have discovered and put together in this presentment and also in the book, Government by Consent book, particularly, I've written quite a few books, but the Government by Consent book is the key book, and it's the book that, everybody, if they can, they should send a copy of that book to their representatives, their sheriff, and it has a lot to say about what their authority and what their job is. And it's a pretty thick book. It's only about $39, but it's 550 pages, 10 font, 8.5 by 11, the size of a sheet of paper, copy paper. So it is a large book, plenty of information, gets into a lot of details on the power and the authority of the sheriff, where the sheriff comes from. And, of course, it gets very deeply into common law, gets into the Constitution, and how people can have government by consent, because the people don't know how to have government by consent. Therein is the problem. And so, it's up to the people to get this out. We do need critical mass to bring us to that point. So, okay, maybe hopefully we'll talk more about this tonight, but let's take the rest of the questions. But before we do that, let me just check something. Hold on. All right, go right ahead, Jan.
Yes, I just checked, and I requested a comment from the fellow on the Redemption Center on the 12th of this month, so I have heard nothing from him, so I think we'll just dispense with that unless he sends another email later on.
Okay.
So then we'll move along. How many did you say you were wanting to send a presentment to? Just sharing my thoughts. To save cost, why would you not consider sending up to only 5 or 10 and then email the information to the others? Let me know your thoughts.
Yeah, email doesn't have the power. We were sending lots of emails out. Not emails. Actually, we were sending faxes out some years back, and we've literally have faxed numerous things to every every elected individual in America, in the states, in the federal level. I mean, we had, I think it was 8 or 10 fax machines going 24/7 doing this, trying to enlighten the people. But it doesn't really have the power that it comes from the grand jury. This is a paper coming from the grand jury. It doesn't have the power if it doesn't come to them in writing in a formal way. That's number one. That's the main reason. Now, I've got right now about 20 people. I don't know if I'm going to add more to that, but right now we've got 20 people. And again, the purpose is to educate them. And we will do a cover letter. I might do different cover letters for different individuals. For instance, one cover letter type thing for maybe President Trump, and maybe something a little different for the rest of for his administration, and then maybe something a little different to senators or congressmen, which we don't have too many of them on. But again, if people can send this to their representative, it does cost, money to send it out through the mail. But again, it's an important paper to send out and to try to get it to as many people to read as possible. You know, there are many people in both Congress and the Senate that are hell-bent on destroying America. They're subversives, they hate God to begin with. I mean, I listened to some things recently, and they really, wow, they're not interested in having anything to do with God. And, we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You know, our law is clearly laid out on who and what we are and what law we're under in the Declaration of Independence. We're under the laws of nature and of nature's God. That is the key, and that is extended upon in the preamble, that it is the job of any elected individual to secure the blessings of liberty. And the only way the blessings of liberty can be preserved is to uphold the law. And again, that brings us back to the key. I think I'm going to do a short video on that. I probably had done something in the past, but I might do another one, just very specifically laying out that who we are as a people, that we indeed are a Christian nation. And I know that mayor down in New York City, he put his hand on the Quran to be sworn in, and that's a violation of who we are. We're a Christian nation. We don't worship Baal. We worship Christ. We worship God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things. And so that person never really took an oath. I mean, why take an oath to the devil? The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And anything outside of Christianity, with the exception of Judaism, of course, is really taking people to another god. They deny the power and the authority of Christ. Okay, but in any event, it is important that we know that we're a Christian nation, that these people who we elect know that we're a Christian nation. We're a morally minded people. That's why we have so many problems, because we have so many people that deny God in power and authority. And there could be good people that are atheists, and they could have morals and things of that nature. But generally, they're not necessarily brought up morally minded, but I can't speak to all people in that sense, but a Christian home basically embeds that morality within the people. And that's why the United States of America is such a different nation than any other nation in the world. You know, and the Bible has said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So that's who we are. But in any event, just going back to this paper, we really get into a lot of different details and different pieces of information of what they should be doing and what the proper powers and authorities are and where they made the errors, like they destroyed the balance of power through the 17th Amendment. We had to make that point. But the focus of this paper, okay, all the pinnacle of it brings us right to, the right to due process. Because due process in a court of law, and we are to be tried by our peers, whether it's in a lawsuit or a criminal action, we're to be tried by our peers. and that's a jury, you know. And the jury, the idea of the 12 jurors comes from right from the Bible. You know, we have the 12 witnesses to bear witness that Christ is who he said he was. And they all gave their lives for that point. And of course, they were prophets and said many things that have come to pass and will continue to come to pass. And so that's the same thing. And, you know, we have 12 witnesses in a court of law. And if just one person disagrees with the conclusion, they're not to leave until they come to an agreement. And if they can't, if it's a criminal case, for instance, and one person can hold the whole jury up and prevent that from jury from going forward, and until they get a unanimous decision, and unless they get a unanimous decision, that person goes free. And now they don't do that anymore. We've had judges brought a new trial up because the jury was divided. They've done a lot of strange things, okay, but that's not the way it is. There is a good book out there called The Excellence of the Common Law. I strongly suggest people consider getting that book by Brent Allen Winters. I learned a lot about common law from that book and the history of where, you know, common law going back quite some time. So, okay, let's go back, I guess, to questions, Jan.
Okay. Is the job of the collective, known as the public servant employees, and the collective, known as the Bar Lawyers of America, to defend the innocent or to prosecute the innocent?
Logic tells us that it's, of course, to protect the innocent, of course. But we do know that... you know, they go after people, innocent or guilt, and uphold the status quo to protect themselves or to protect whatever it is that they have built, protect their system to maintain the status quo. And therein is the problem. But of course it is to protect the innocent. I mean, that's clear, that's logical, it's common sense. And as a matter of fact, you know, common law is simply common sense with an eye on justice. That's all it is. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. We don't need their statutes. We don't need their regulations. We don't need to be governed by their you know, laws that they create, man-made laws, which is referred to as equity, which is the purpose of that is to control people who are in elected positions, working different agencies or working certain commercial activities. You know, on a federal level, of course, interstate commercial activities. But it has nothing to do with us. Traffic law has nothing to do with us. You know, because it doesn't give you due process. You see, you're automatically guilty, you know, when you bring a statute up. Besides that, but we never gave them the power or the authority to govern us through statutes. That's God's job. He governs us through his law. And so, again, going back to being going into a court of law, which is due process, we get a court heard by a jury. That's the tribunal, is the 12 individuals. Okay, next question.
Can I ask for assistance with banks? How do I do that?
Yeah. Assistance with what?
Banks, lending institutions.
Yeah, I don't know.
Money handlers.
Yeah, I don't know too much about that, so I couldn't really be helpful there. So, and I don't understand the question. Doesn't get to any details. I mean, maybe if it does, maybe it would be something I know. But generally speaking, I don't know much about that.
And that's it for tonight, John.
Okay, let me repeat again. We've got an open queue here. If anybody wants to get into the queue. It's a star 6 and a 1. Let me see if we've got anybody in the queue right now. Yeah, we have a few people. Star 6 and a 1 if you want to get into a queue, if you're on a phone. And if you're on an app or a browser, should be a button to get into the queue. And, you know, let me just take a quick look to see if there's anything else I want to make a point on concerning this paper before we start to take questions. And again, you know, it's up to the people. The Constitution is not going to protect itself. It's not going to, You know, it's not going to protect itself, bottom line. You know, whenever we open up on a open forum, we always talk about the purpose of National Liberty Alliance ultimately brings us into the securing of our republic. Let me see how we put this. I'm not seeing it very quickly, but I think here it is, yeah. We ask people to help support us. Let me just read the lines. Please support our business partners. You can find the banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. I don't know of any group out there that is working on what we're working on. You know, saving the republic is saving our courts, opening up our courts of justice. Our country will be as just as our courts are. And right now, our courts are totally 100% corrupt. And as long as they remain corrupt, it doesn't matter what Trump does. It doesn't matter what his administration does. If the courts are never restored back to courts of justice again, it'll only be a matter of time. We'll get back to where we were at. And our children's children will suffer for that, and so on and so forth. And it's our job to prevent that from happening. And there are a couple of ways to prevent that from happening. Number one, getting involved with what we're doing and getting the word out to as many people as possible, particularly the paperwork we're working on right now. Also, supporting us financially. Everybody can afford $5 or more. Right now, with this paper going out, of course, our expenses are higher, so, you know, we need money, more money than normal to get that out. We have also, you know, other things we'd like to do. We have the campaign for constitutional sheriffs that we're pushing on. We haven't been pushing very much on it lately, but we need to push on that. That costs money. And for National Liberty Alliance to really be successful, we need to go professional. We need to pay people, because right now we're operated as volunteers. But we need to get people who are paid working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and some people part-time if they want. But that's where success will really come. And so, of course, we are looking for people with some deep pockets that might be able to do that. We do have a large enough membership that if everybody that's a member of National Liberty Alliance was to give us $5 a month or more, we'd go professional, because we'd be pulling in a lot of money every month to be able to pay salaries. And again, you know, filing papers and doing different things, it all costs money. And so the people have to get behind it. But the key thing is also for people to get the word out. We need to hit critical mass, because critical mass is what's really going to give the power and the authority to the people, and to accomplish to return our government, our courts back to a republic again, which brings the whole, all of our government back to a republic, requiring an education. I mean, there's a lot we want to do. No one should go into office if they have not been educated in the common law and the Constitution. And even though we got a lot of lawyers there, they're not educated in the Constitution. They avoid the Constitution, and they're taught to do so. They're taught, you know, why bring up the Constitution? There's a lot of statutes out there and regulations that you can apply that you know, more clearer than the Constitution or whatever it is that they teach. I know a lawyer that I learned a lot from. That's what he was taught, and he was to continue to teach that teaching. Of course, you know, I had common law in the back of my mind in my framework as I was learning this. You know, again, only the people can save the republic. But you have to support it. You have to give up something. You got to give up a little bit of your time. You got to get involved in your local community. Get committees of safety going. You got to support the efforts of National Liberty Alliance. And you have to get the word out, pass it around, get people involved. You know, we have a lot here that can be gleaned by people. You can literally spend a lifetime on our website in order to get through everything, and even then you probably won't get through everything. We have that much information here, tremendous, tremendous amounts of information. And lots of courses, lots of free courses, and of course some courses that we ask people to be premium members in order to get into. And a premium member is someone given $5 a month or more. Most people should be able to afford that. And I strongly advise that people should know how to go into a court and take care of their own business. we teach a law course for that purpose. And, you know, you can find that right on our website. It's one of the first things that you come up to is an affordable court access in the common law course. Teaches people how due process works, how the court system works, how to get put your papers together, the forms, the procedures, the process, the structure. And it teaches all those things. It's a 90-hour course. Everyone should take it. You shouldn't be putting your life and into the hands of a lawyer. They're not interested in you. I've only met a couple of lawyers, literally two, as a matter of fact, in my entire experience, and even before, you know, learning law myself. Only two that I felt were just and did have the interest of people. They had good morals and were frustrated by the system and understood that the system is corrupt and problematic and it's not there for the people. But the rest of them, I'm telling you, it's all about money. They corrupt them from day one. The moment they get into their law schools, they corrupt them. They tell them we're under Roman law and not natural law. They tell them we're a democracy and not a republic. Or we're a democratic republic, which is an oxymoron. It's against itself. There's no such thing as a democratic republic. Matter of fact, going to the Constitution, we the people wrote that they are to guarantee to us a republican form of government, not a democracy form of government, a republican form of government. And just because we elect people, most of our representatives, not all, but most of our representatives, we elect them by popular vote, that doesn't make us a democracy. That's just common sense. Has nothing to do with democracy. People need to look up to see what democracy is. And there are two types of democracy. There's a pure democracy, which is almost impossible to have, but to some degree in small enough groups or in technology today, but of course that could be really corrupted really bad very quickly. You know, where everybody gets a vote on every issue. I mean, that's ridiculous. And that, of course, I think it was Benjamin Franklin said that a democracy is two wolves and a lamb deciding what to have for dinner, you know. And a republic is the lamb, a well-armed lamb, contesting the vote. Okay, so therein is the difference. And now there's also a democracy that is not a pure democracy, but where we elect a people to go make decisions for us, and they go and decide whatever they want. Okay, and they're not controlled by a constitution. Okay, our government, the government individuals that people we put into government, they're under a constitution, but they totally ignore it. I mean, everybody's ignoring it. They don't pay no attention to it. You know, like Biden said, you know, it's the thing. He couldn't even know anything about the constitution. I mean, I listen to people, and it's really sickening and depressing. We should, and you know what? They will continue that way as long as you don't know the Constitution, as long as you don't know the common law, as long as you don't know who we are as a people, then you have no clue what they're doing. You don't know what they're doing is either lawful or unlawful. And that's why they get away with what they get away with. They've cast the Constitution aside. They've trampled upon it. They trashed it. And the courts of, there are no courts that uphold the Constitution at all anywhere. I've been in lots and lots of courts. None of them uphold the Constitution. None of them. Zero. Not one. And I've been at this for about 15 years now. And I think it's been that long. Let me think about that. It's more like 13 years. So, well, actually it's longer than that because I started studying before we put National Liberty Alliance together. So, you know, I was studying and I was going into the courts, fumbling around the first couple of years, you know, not having a clue on what I was doing and trying to learn at the same time. But anyway, everything that you need to know is right here. An education, a full education, a good education, understanding of how things work, an understanding of what common law is, an understanding how the court system works. We teach it all right here. People need to get involved with that. And you need to let other people know that they should come and get involved. Until we hit critical mass, we're not going to save this nation. We're not going to do it. You got to get the people behind the work that we're doing here. So, another way people can help us is by getting the word out to podcasters. And people are listening to podcasters all day long. Drop them a note. They say, hey, have you looked at National Liberty Alliance? Have you seen what they're doing? Drop a copy of the paper here, you know, that we're filing, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is filing, you know, and the Grand Jury is sponsored by National Liberty Alliance. Without National Liberty Alliance, they wouldn't exist. So, that's your job. It's your duty. You don't have a choice. Actually, you do. You could just give up and let them continue to trash our republic and let your children become slaves. I mean, that's the choice you have. There is no other choice. All right, let's take our first person here. Let me see. It's 702 area code. Let me hit the button. What's your first name and your state? Let's see. I think I hit the button. Did I? Maybe not. Let me try it again. Okay, you got the mic. Mic's open. What's your first name and your state?
Hi, my name's Tara. I'm from California, and I appreciate you very much, and I just learned about you guys and have been studying your website and looking a lot of the stuff, and I have some good news that I want to share and also a bunch of questions. If you have time, I can always call back in the future if we don't have time to cover everything, but I'm trying to gather people for a chapter of We the People, of course, you know, Bob Schultz, and we are fighting the California Franchise Tax Board for extorting and criminally laundering our money in the form of, you know, illegal taxes. Now, I'm sure that you probably hear about this a lot from your callers and your people, but
I know Robert Schultz personally, but go ahead. We work with him. We uphold his work. We do have a page on our website that brings you to We the People with Robert Schultz, but go ahead.
Right. So we want to get names. We also want to reach critical mass in California and have a class action against the Franchise Tax Board for the things that I mentioned. And we're gaining some steam. We've got some good people on board, and I know that there would be interest if people knew that we were there and trying to do such a thing. So I do want to link up with you guys and hopefully, you know, get people on board with this, because we do have a window of time right now, I believe, because there's this communication line that's been open. I can't necessarily give Trump the credit, but I think his administration is at least opening some communication channels that weren't there before, or that maybe were there but that people weren't using. But I like how a lot of these subjects are being talked about more and more, and that people are really getting fed up. I mean, I just don't know what takes people so long to get upset and get angry about this. And what does it really take for critical mass to reach? I mean, what, like, how long can people be abused and still just keep taking it and paying for it? It's just, you know, it's so confusing. But everything you said about the courts, and I mean, how can we get it back? And like the rot, where did the rot start? And, you know, ultimately, how do we hold these courts responsible for doing this? I mean, they are engaging in criminal activities every second. And like you said, you can't really get justice. I mean, they're gatekeepers. The doors on our justice system are locked. And we are responsible for taking it back. Nobody's going to give it back to us. We have to take it. And it's so deeply embedded and corrupt. I mean, even Trump has trouble, you know, penetrating it. It's like it's so deeply sick. And it's pretty profound how it got that way and how they were able to convince people to get on board with this. Like, you would think one of them, a couple of them, a few of them might get up and say, you know, this is illegal and this isn't what our country's about. Like, how are so many of them so corrupted, and why are so many of them part of this cancer? It's just, it would only take a few of them to really, you know, gain the momentum and get others on board, but they refuse to do such things. So, you know, it's left to us non-lawyers and us regular people, we the people, to do it. And yeah, we have to do it. If we don't do it, we're going to lose our country. If we haven't already, I wonder if it's so sick that it's beyond healing at this point. Sometimes it seems that way.
It does. From a lot of people, and I do hear a lot of people think that way. Even some good people in government, they think, well, you know, I don't know where we're going to go with this. Or you get some people that are good in news, and those are two things hard to find, good people in government and in the news. But there are some out there, and they seem a little depressed about it. They're not sure whether Trump is going to be successful. They're not sure of all the things that the administration is doing. You know, those of us who have been listening in on this for a long time, and particularly being educated by Q, okay? Q is military intelligence, and Q had a board up for about a year and a half and was putting a lot of information out there. And it's also almost prophetic. It's amazing on how, you know, the military intelligence had really worked this whole thing out, because what is happening today was actually written up by Q 4 years ago, laid out everything. And there are certain individuals that have been following this for a long time. There's two particular news groups that follow this, one more than the other. For instance, if you come under Welcome tab and go to Up-to-Date News, okay, X22 I think is probably one of the best reports out there. Because they go back into time showing how Q has laid this stuff out, the timing, and it's just amazing. So we know certain things. We know the plan that's been laid out. We know that the military is the only way. The military at some point in time is going to be involved in this. And again, Q is military intelligence. It's the highest intelligence in America. Also, another one is N. We Know. He seems to be pretty connected also. He refers quite often back to the past and brings up the fact that Q said this would happen at a certain time, and the dates and the time, even the times, literally the, you know, 12:22 in the afternoon, you know, p.m. On a certain date, and there it is, you know, it just laid all out 4 years ago. So, and it's kind of amazing how they work that out. I mean, it's just amazing. There's no doubt in my mind or in my heart at this point in time that Trump is going to be successful. I do know or believe at this point that he understands the major problems in the courts. I think a lot of these judges are going to go to jail. They need to go to jail. After all, they shut the doors of justice down. They participated. Why are they participating? What's going on? It gets back to money. Okay, money is the primary thing. Okay, but also they get something on them. You know, they get something, you know, maybe they get them involved with a young child or something, and they get videos of it, and then they control them for life. I mean, I think a lot of these people are controlled by that way, and I think that's why the Democratic Party, which the Democratic Party has taken the view of being a godless people, so they're demoralized to a major degree. And I think a lot of them are trapped into doing what they have to do because they got something on them. But also there's a lot of money flow. There's a lot of payola. You know, you can see all of the billions and billions of dollars that has been wasted. You know, like let's take the Somalis. And the people in government set that up. They're getting a piece of that action. We're seeing a lot of arrests. They're coming up. They're going to come more and more. And I think at some point in time, I think the military is going to have to get involved because I think it might get a little rocky in the streets. Before Trump, I, many others, you know, getting a lot of ammo, a lot of guns, and ready for whatever's heading our way, because I didn't think there was going to be any other way than actually a revolution in the streets. Not that I wanted to participate with that, but, you know, if you get to a point you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice. But that, for me, has disappeared once Trump came into power. His first 4 years, I saw what he's done. You know, I come from New York City, so I knew Trump, and not personally, of course, but very much aware of him. And a lot of stories out there, a lot of good things he's done. And he's always been a man of his word, and he fulfills whatever he says. And his last, you know, speech before coming into power, this last administration, he made it clear that he was going to annihilate, totally annihilate, the deep state. They're going to be gone. So he has a plan for that. He's working on that. He's doing that. And we're seeing a lot of pressure on past administrations, you know, Biden and Obama. You know, they're getting ready to be arrested. And his administration, there's a lot of stress on him right now. So I have a lot of faith in that. I think there's a lot of good news. The thing I'm concerned about, though, is getting our courts back to common law, the laws of nature and of nature's God. Because lawyers, you know, there's a lot of lawyers around Trump. There's a lot of lawyers in our government. A high majority of the representatives are lawyers. And these people have been taught the lie. Just like fake news, it's fake law. They're taught that we're under civil law, that it comes from Roman law, which is literally finds its way all the way to Babylonian law, the law of the city, to control the people, keep the slaves in under control, to fleece them, you know, to get money. And that's what lawyers are all about, it seems. I get amazed sometimes, after I talk to a lawyer, and then I just watch to see what they do. They don't care about the people. They couldn't care less whether they really, not just, I'm sure there are some lawyers that this may not be true with, but majority I've come to see and know are, they couldn't care less whether you win your case or not. It's all about the money. That's all it is for these people. And that's what I see. That's my experience. Maybe I'm in my own little world somehow. I don't know, but that's how I see it. The judges, corrupt as hell. I mean, they just don't care about nothing, you know? You hear some of these stories, it's just amazing. Anyway, I think it's happening. We are communicating. It's a one-way communication. We are communicating with Trump and his administration. And I do see from time to time they are saying certain things. I know, Tulsi, for instance, she has moved from the statement of making the statement that we are a democratic republic to now a republic without the democratic republic. So maybe they're learning from us. Maybe they learned something on their own. Whatever it is, who cares? The thing is they're coming to realize these things. And this is true with a few of the people in Trump's administration. And so that's, it's really helpful and gives us some hope. But back to you.
Yeah, I appreciate your hope and your belief in our country and our people. And I believe the same thing, but I don't think we have a whole lot of time left. I think that the cancer is so, embedded into the system so deeply. And if it's not cut out quickly, it's just, like you said, I don't think that people realize how corrupt the judicial and the justice or injustice system really is. Unless you've been through it yourself, or you know somebody in it, or you work in it, it's so sick. My grandfather was a judge in Washington, D.C. in, the 50s and 60s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And, he told us that judges were bribed all the time, and he never once accepted a bribe, and he was almost like looked down upon. They had a nickname for him called Mr. Clean because he refused to take bribes and he always was fair and just, ruled across the law. Now, he also retired without the big mansions and the big stuff. He just was like everybody else, but he was clean. His karma was clean and he was a clean guy. And I'm glad he was, because all of that would have affected our family, that lives in people's genetics and their DNA to pass on, bribery and lies and things like that. So I'm happy that he was such an upstanding guy. Now, from what he, what he said, almost nobody else was like that. So they most of them all take bribes and they all get paid pretty well to do it.
Especially lawyers. I want to tell you, and all judges are lawyers. They're first lawyers and they become judges.
Right.
They're trained by the same group. They're trained by the bar. And the American Bar Association is demoralized. They are, and they're subversive. They teach subversive.
Not even American. If they take an oath to the bar, they're actually committing treason.
But in response to your thinking that there may not be much time, what you need to understand, and if you start listening to a lot of the news that we've been listening to, and again, I think X22 is one of the best ones out there. When you come to realize and understand this plan, Trump is working at this for 10 years. When he didn't lose the election in 2020, but you know, nevertheless, you know, he was still working. And you know, there's a belief in many people that he still was the president during the time period. He definitely was working behind the scenes, definitely pulling things together. And so it's not like that things weren't going on during that time period. You know, he rebuilt the military, and that gave him the ability to, when he came into his second term, to bring world peace, because that's what he's working on right now, world peace, getting rid of corruption, getting rid of drugs, ending the drug wars by getting rid of these drug people, you know, and the nations that are supporting this, and the terrorists, and, you know, just taking them out. And, you know, bringing back, you know, peace, especially on our hemisphere. But again, this has been 10 years in the works, 10 years in the planning. Military has been involved with this. There's been a lot of investigation. There's lots and lots of juries that have been out there. We've heard stories that there are many, many, many tens of thousands of indictments yet to be, you know, brought out and opened yet. And I think we're going to see, you know, some floodgates really opening after certain individuals are finally arrested and brought to trial, and then I think we're going to see the floodgates really open up, and that's where the dangers may be, where there might be some upheaval in the streets. And as a matter of fact, Q mentioned that if and when that happens, that to just try to stay indoors, stay out of it, and they will clean up things quite quickly. So we'll see where that goes, but you know, right now there's lots and lots of indictments going on. We don't hear about it because you're not supposed to hear about it. You know, sometimes a leak gets out there, oh, someone's been indicted. That leak should not have gotten out. When a person is indicted, it's a secret because you don't know whether
Why should it be secret? Why are there any secrets in government?
Let me correct what I said. Until they are indicted, let me put it that way. Once the indictment is out, that's a different story. But no, but sometimes, of course, they have to seal the indictment because in this case, there's so many of them. And when the opening veil of that comes, you know, the left is going to go crazy. But no, let me take it the other way. When they're under investigation, until they gather the evidence and then bring it to a jury to get the indictment, no one should know anything about that, because if the jury decides not to indict and doesn't see there's enough evidence, you know, you can't ruin a person's reputation like that. You know, people in the minds of people, they might think they're guilty of something when the jury said, no, we don't see it, it's not here. They're the ones that get the full facts. So I just want to correct what I said. You know, once they're indicted, that's a different story. Yes, then it should open up. But sometimes it's sealed, and it's sealed for a reason, and there's a lot of sealed indictments out there, we understand, and it's for a purpose. And there's going to be a floodgate opening at some point in time. I think it's very close. I mean, I've even seen some things out there that strongly suggest we're very close to the closing down of the Federal Reserve, very close to going back to gold and silver. You know, there's a lot of stories out there about gold and silver, and, you know, I'm not sure what's true or what's not on it, but, you know, I'm hearing a lot of good stories, too. So, but we'll see what happens. We have to go back to the Constitution. That's the only solution to our problem. We have to go back to recognizing we're a republic, and that a democracy is repugnant to a republic, and that there can be no justice outside a court of justice, which is under a republic. And the republic brings the law. It's the public thing. It's the thing that's there. It's the law. And the law is the laws of nature and of nature's God, which is who we are as a people. We're a Christian nation, morally minded people. Until we bring those things back and get them back as fixtures in the minds of the people, you know, it's still going to be shaky, and who knows what's going to happen. But at some point, that has to be brought back, you know, back in the minds of the people. You know, children have been destroyed in schools. You know, we have fake news, we have fake law, we have fake schools, we have, you know, no morals are being taught in schools. They've got the Quran going on, as I hear these things going on now with certain places. They have the Quran in school, but they won't permit the Bible. I mean, who are these people? You know, the Bible was in the school until 1963. That's what made us who we are. The king of our court is Jesus Christ. because all courts have a king. Right now it's man. It's not even the legislators. They write the law, but it's those clowns out there that call themselves judges, okay? And really, you know, what they actually are chancellors. And they are the king of the court, they think. Well, that brings us under the mind of man and not God. It's not what we, our founding fathers, created and brought together. We need to go back to the republic.
A couple of things I want to ask you. One is, where did this democracy nonsense come from? Like, how did that start?
That started in the very beginning. Oh yeah, we've written about that on our website. We've done some videos on that. Basically, look at the destruction of America started before we even became the United States. You know, while we were yet colonies, the king in 1750 started to send the barristers here to destroy our judicial process because it became a problem to the king. You know, he wanted to get rid of the common law, bring them under the civil law, get them chancellors just like they did in England and so on and so forth. So that's where the problems with the law began. And so as time went on, okay, they've taken over. Well, let's go back into the days of Washington when he became president, and his farewell address, two-thirds of that farewell address talked about factions, talked about political parties, that they were going to be the destruction, that there was already in process and moving. And the first political party which was destructive to America was the Federalist, okay? There was also the idea of the Anti-Federalists, which is really something brought together by, and I'm not sure how the name was coined, but in any event, Jefferson and Madison were like the kingpins of that, really pushing that issue, and they're the ones that got the Bill of Rights in, and they were not a political party. They said political parties, they agreed with Washington. We can't have political parties. That's how, you know, a republic can't survive political parties. It's factions. It's one group against the other. And that's where it started. And by, I think it was, trying to think what year it was in. I think it was 1818 or maybe earlier than that, but very early 1800s, okay. They changed from the Federalists. They morphed into the Democratic Party. And that's where they come from. And they kept trying to coin the other side. And, of course, they eventually fell to that and became, I think it was in Lincoln's day, a couple of years before Lincoln joined the Republican Party, is when the Republican Party began, which was in opposition to the Democrat Party, because they recognized that we're a republic, we're not a democracy. And these two systems is what destroyed this nation. You know, Jefferson said the judges are going to be the destruction of this nation. Washington, he held up the point that the political parties are going to destroy this nation. They both agreed with each other, but nevertheless, they were both right. That's what has destroyed us. It's judges, which brings us back to the bar, and it's the two parties, which, by the way, brings us back to the bar again, because they're the ones that lifted it up. So that's where it all came from.
I mean, how can it still survive knowing what you know, which, I mean, the Bar Association would be just enough to, like, set people off that this isn't even American.
Fake news and fake education. Look, you go back into the earlier part of the 20th century, you know, when really a lot of bad legislation was coming up, and you know, coming into the 20th century, they had the Organic Act of 1871, okay, and that turned us into a corporation, which brought us under corporatism. I mean, this goes way back. The revolution never ended. The enemy has always been within the gates, and they've been working on us. And
we've never had a break. Like, we've never
Yeah, well, I can see it happening now, but also, you know, I believe that the Bible is clear to me that before he comes, before the Lord returns, nations will be judged. And we're seeing that right now. Nations are being judged. Okay, so I do believe we're going to get to that point and we're going to return back to one nation under God. I do believe that.
Well, I wonder if you could also speak about the National Security Act, because from what I understand, that's really the reason why nobody is being arrested, because they actually are protected under the National Security Act.
Yeah, I don't know the details on that. I know there are a lot of acts, a lot of bad, look at, law is constructive, okay? It's one thing built upon another. The beginning of the beginning of the construction of law to destroy America began in 1871. I mean, they were fighting and battling to get power all that time, but in 1871, when they finally passed the Organic Act, which created turned us into corporations. Now, look at the Republic, and the structure of America is still there, but it's overshadowed or overlaid by corporatism. You know, we just have to remove the veil, because everything is still there. We don't have a lot of reconstruction to do. We've got the Constitution. We've got the structures. Everything's there. We just got to bring morality back and get rid of this bad legislation. And any legislation, when this legislation came out, let's put it this way, when they came up with the Organic Act of 1871, they had already planned lots of things to be constructed upon that. And the National Security Act is one of them. You know, we had the Rules Enabling Act, another big one. There's so much that they've built upon it. So once you get to the core, to the foundation, which again is brings us back to the Organic Act of 1871, all acts and laws built upon that can be toppled down very quickly. And just destroyed. You know, there is a group which we support that it's called, they call themselves the Republic Review, and they are working to try to get the states to come together, and I understand he's having some success, where they want to go in and get rid of all unconstitutional law on the federal level. And he's done a lot of homework on that, and the guy's name is GR. That's what he goes by, GR. And, that's something that's also working from another perspective to try to get rid of all these unconstitutional laws. But again, the key to this whole thing is education. That's the key. Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So we have to have an educated people. You can't know if they're breaking the law if you don't know the law, okay? You have to know the 18 powers that we've given them. We've given legislators 18 powers, and we have to know them. We have to understand what those powers are. And once they make law outside of those 18 powers, we need to do something about it. We need to understand due processes. And once the courts start to act outside of due process, we could do something about it if the people understood. That's why we encourage people to build committees of safety in their counties and educate themselves, start taking back the government from the ground up. It starts local. And you take,
I think it would be good to get rid of lawyers altogether, like have a society without lawyers.
You have to get rid of bar lawyers. Now, you can't get rid of lawyers, though, because people do have to be educated in order to go into courts and do things and run through the due process, understand the structure and the procedures and the forms and all those things they need to do.
Constitutional natural law. And even that, you might think that we need lawyers. We need educated people to discern the Constitution and be able to defend it for the rest of Americans. We might change the name from lawyer to something else because that's gotten to be such a bad word. They've heard it.
Well, the word lawyer is okay. The problem is with the American Bar Association. It's with the British accredited, the British accredited registry. Okay.
It's not even real. I mean, it's not even a real system for Americans, and yet that's what's running. That's the problem right there. If we change that, and they actually had it running under American law, under American jurisdiction, it would change everything. I mean, right there, that's the big lie. Lawyers aren't even running American law.
You can't be done the way you're thinking. What you have to do is get rid of the Bar Association. Anybody who walks into those courts can't be a member of the Bar. I don't know if you're familiar with the original 13th Amendment, which prevented bar attorneys from operating here in America. Okay, and that was the purpose of the 13th Amendment. And it disappeared in around 1860 sometime before the next 13th Amendment came. All of a sudden, that just wasn't there anymore. We have a copy of that. We put I think we have a copy in our paperwork. We do have a memorandum in there concerning that. And if we don't have a copy of the actual amendment with all of the, that it was passed through all of the states, we'll add that in there. But the thing is this. Here's the thing about lawyers, okay? You have to have people who are educated in equity. Equity is law, legislated law. That's what equity is. If you go into the Constitution, we have law and equity. Law, L-A-W, okay, if you go into Brovier's law, you go into Black's law, and you look up the word law, L-A-W, or in-law, or at-law, all of it is under the laws of nature. That's natural law, common law. It's referred to as common law, which is natural law. Okay, equity is man-made law. It's legislative law. And that's where we gave the powers, 18 powers, to the legislators to write law. And they've written law, 57 different codes, USCs, United States codes. And each one of those codes have a purpose, and you have to have people who are educated in that, each one of those areas. For instance, if you go into the...
Why should we all be educated? Why does it take a special select group? We should all be educated about our laws and be able to represent ourselves and not have to depend, because you can't trust these people. I mean, this isn't a way of thinking that, these people would be trustworthy.
You have in common law, not the legislated law. Here's the problem with you thinking the way you're thinking. You need people. Let's take, for instance, USC Title III. UST Title III is over 1,000 pages of legislation, and it controls and empowers the President of the United States. You need people around the President who can, relate to the President his powers, his authorities, how far he can go, what he can't do. He needs to know that, okay? And that's what so you have to have people who are highly educated in that area, and there are a lot of people highly educated in these areas. If you go into USC Title II, you have the congressional powers, okay? Same thing. If you go into USC Title 10, it's the armed forces, and it's legislative law for the armed forces. You have, USC Title 23, which deals with the laws of the highways, okay? You have to have people who are... We're not going to be able to get educated in all these things. These are specialties, okay? And you take a lawyer that generally has the knowledge of these things, but they usually specialize in one area or another, okay? But what we need to know, you see, what they have done is they have taken legislative law, called it civil law, and abrogated the common law and calls that the law, okay? So now we're under civil law is what we're under. They have taken USC 18, which is crimes and procedures, which is a general law. It's USC 18, crimes and procedures. That's general law to deal with people who are in government agencies, to deal with the government agencies to control them. What is the criminal action? What is the what should be the penalties for this act or that act? And the same thing for commercial law. They're under USC 18 too. What they did is they moved people under USC 18. You see, that's the problem. We're not to be under equity. Now, the other thing about equity is when they abrogated the common law, they also abrogated the rules of common law, because they replaced them through the Rules Enabling Act. They replaced them with civil rules and civil laws. And so what that did is it got rid of the common law control over equity. You see, because equity, anything that is in these U.S. titles we're talking about, and there's 57 of them all together, so it's a lot of law here. I mean, goodness, to be educated in all that is huge. You can't just have, you got to have people who are specially educated in these areas in order to counsel the people that are working in those areas. And so, but the thing is that they're supposed to be governed by natural law also. The rules of common law are to control also the laws of equity as much as law, which is common law.
Right. That's exactly right. I think that's such an important point to make, is that this separation that we have going on is not even our real laws, and that common law, natural law is really what we should be operating under, if we're not, and our whole system has been usurped and hijacked, and people don't even realize it. Even the word civil law sounds good. Doesn't that sound good? Civil law? Oh, yeah, okay, civil law. I mean, it certainly sounds good, but it's not. It's another term that one of these really, you know, really kind of lit terms that they use to fool us. Let me just say,
you know, I'll give you another couple of minutes, and I got to move to other people because there are three other people in the queue. And if you want, you can go back in the queue. If we go through those people, we can talk some more, or we can pick it up next week also. But okay. Go ahead. Let's try to bring us to an end for the moment and move to these other people.
Okay.
What else do you want to make a last point or something?
I had a lot to talk about. If we finish up with the other people, I can get back in. But I wanted to mention that I think, you know, if we were to recreate or create a new system that's based on American natural common law, that we need fraud filters in place where it would filter out naturally anybody that would be a subversive.
Jefferson spoke about this. There's only one solution to this. Only one. Okay? And that's a proper education. They've taken that proper education from us. We don't have a proper education. I never had a proper education. I gave myself a proper education.
There's no such thing in the U.S. right now is for a proper... I mean, yeah, we have to educate ourselves. But even then, we have to unlearn. And that's the whole education, is unlearning what we've been taught.
What we need to do is educate our children. We have to bring these things back to the schools. We have to bring civics back to the schools. We have to bring constitutional. Look at every child, every single child that goes through school, 1 through 12, K through 12, by the time they get out of 12th grade, they should have the knowledge to be able to walk into any courtroom, take care of their business, understand the structure, the procedure, how common law works, everything they need to know. They should know it because people should be taking care of their own lawful business. Now, it's, you know, you can also hire someone who is highly educated in it and maybe can articulate things better, but you got to control your own case, okay? Because if you don't, you're going to lose your case, lose control over your case. But, you know, look, we need to teach our children, first of all, morals. We need to get the Bible back into the schools. It was there until 1963, and this nation was much better off until they took the Bible out of school. That's where it begins. We need to teach our children civics. We need to teach them the Constitution. We need to teach them the law. We need to teach them real history, true history, not only world history, but we need to teach them specifically American history. You know, people don't know, they don't have a clue that the Declaration of Independence is a covenant with God. That's what that is. It's a covenant with God. It cannot be broken by man. Okay, it's forever. You can't break that on behalf of your children or your children's children, you know, your posterity. It was given to us as a gift. Our founding fathers brought it together, and it was for them and their posterity. So you can't get rid of it. You can't break it. The government can't break it, although they've been working at it and very close to breaking it, and pretty much they have broke it to a major degree. But the bottom line is, it's only the people can maintain it. Jefferson said, and I'll repeat it, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. He put all of his faith in the people, he said. The people will keep us free. They must have a proper education. And that's what we try to give. It's a Jeffersonian education. You get it right here in National Liberty Alliance. We need to get it into the schools. We need to get textbooks working these things out. We need to offer different opportunities in the local colleges to people who are out of school to come in and learn this and learn that. Okay, but the thing is if we teach the younger generation and we bring them to light, okay, then it'll be their turn eventually, and they'll be the ultimate securities of this nation under the law.
I'm sure you know who was writing and illustrating textbooks for our school children. You know that, of course.
Well, I don't necessarily know who, but whoever they were probably perverted people to begin with.
Well, it was Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell. His school books were in our schools. That was who was educating our children, pedophiles. So it's not surprising at all why our children are so detached from reality and so caught up in the wrong things. I mean, that's what, I mean, he was allowed to, you know, put his school books in our children's schools and educate our children based on complete lies. And you know that stuff was laced with all kinds of subliminal stuff, too.
Ultimately, that's our fault because we refused to get educated. Look, I remember when I was a kid, my parents quite often, numerous times a year, they'd have the meetings and the parents would go in and talk to the teachers and everything. And, you know, there's a lot more control by the parents on what's going to be taught. And that's what we have to do today. You know, if you get a committee of safety going, we teach people how to work a committee of safety, how to take control of the school boards, how to remove these people from school boards if they refuse to be obedient to the people of the community. Okay? All that, there's a process for all that. Okay? But people don't know how to have government, but that's government by consent. They don't know how to have government by consent. We have to take control of our local government, you know.
Right. The infiltrations start at the school board level. So it first starts there. So when you see it there, you know that, you know, if you can stop it there, you can stop it at the other levels because it starts right there. That's why it's so important. People don't realize that.
That's why Trump got rid of the Department of Education, you know.
Yeah, right. I thought that was a smart move.
Once I go to the next person, you can get back into the queue. You'll be in the back,
okay.
And we'll talk some more. Okay?
Thanks.
All right. We'll go to our next caller. It looks like, let's see, Terry. Let me hit that button there. Next question. Terry, you got the mic. Give us your state.
Hey, Minnesota, the land of the Learing Centers and $19 billion worth of fraud.
Yep. Yeah, we got to send some more money to the Somalis.
We're spending a lot, and then there was also $9 billion worth of non-emergency medical transport fraud, which is the business I'm in. We've known it for 13 years. I brought it to the Attorney General. I also brought it to our wonderful governor, who's actually now moving to South Dakota because he got kicked out of Minnesota here for the most part. So, and nobody in South Dakota wants him, but he's already got a house there already.
Well, I think a lot of justice is coming down that road soon.
Well, you would hope so, but everybody seemed to go pretty unscathed. And so, hey, can you do me a favor, John? The person that was on, was her name Carla from California, or what was her first name?
You know, I didn't write it down. She's going to get back in the queue, and I can unmute her if she gets back into the queue.
Yeah, can you give her my email and have her contact me?
What's your email? Well, you want to send the email to mail@National Liberty Alliance? Give me a dip.
Oh, so you guys can't see, you know, underneath, I can see underneath my name, my email's underneath there. You're not able to see me on your guys' site?
I didn't look close enough, yeah. I can see it. Let me make a note of it. But go ahead. You had a question or a comment as I'm writing it down?
I got quite a few. First of all, she was saying there in California that they're going after for illegal taxation. There's no such thing as illegal taxation. Taxation is either voluntary or it is our government, under the threat of violence, forcing us to give them money. There's no such thing as illegal taxation, so I just wanted to make that clarification to help them out in California.
There is legal tax as long as you can avoid it, okay, like sales tax, okay? You can avoid that by not buying the product.
That's a voluntary purchase, correct, because there is no such thing as an illegal tax. If they want to do 7% or so long as it's not, you know, 100% when you buy something, you know, it should be a single-digit percentage. But that is, tax is always voluntary. If it is forced under the threat of violence, if you do not make those payments, that is not taxation. That is extortion. And that's also, it's literally holding America hostage, every innocent American hostage. If they own something like a home, if they own a vehicle, or if they labor. So if they labor, what's that?
You don't own your home because if you don't pay your tax, they come and take it.
Well, that you own your home, it's just that they feel that since you own something, they can take money from you every year. So you do own your home, technically, but they're actually making you a hostage and making you ransom your house in order to stay in it. That's the technical way to say it.
But it's even worse than that, okay? Because let's say, and I've been involved in some years back, some of these cases, people losing their homes, I'm trying to help them, and so on and so forth. Let's take a tax foreclosure, for instance. or even a mortgage foreclosure, but tax foreclosure particularly, you know, maybe the person owes $3,000, but the house is worth $250,000, and they will take that house away from that person. They'll go out and put it up for an auction. Someone will buy it for dirt cheap, probably a setup, some corporation they set up, because whatever they're doing, because there's so much illegal things going on with these people. But the bottom line, you know, if they took the house away from a person and it's worth $250,000, even if they sold it for $100,000 and they only owe $4,000 tax on it or whatever that may be, well, they should be giving them the $96,000 to the people, shouldn't they? They don't even do that.
Yeah, but it's not a tax, though. That's what I'm saying, John. We've all got to get out of the mindset that it's a tax. Not a tax. It is extortion, and it is labor, slavery of every innocent human here in America. So when you labor and they say, I can take your labor, that is slavery. That is lifetime slavery. It starts at conception, and it ends after death. Even when you die, they say, I can take your property from you here because you owe us. So what I'm trying to do is set the record straight in that taxation is great. But that's how, you know, when they first settled over here, there was no such thing as tax because there was nobody to defend you. There were no employees to take and steal from you. There were no employees to write laws to say, I can steal from you. When we settled here, everybody was we the people, and you were either innocent or you violated a right that God gave you at conception. That is not natural law. That is the right. That is the law of right. God gives us the right to be born and the right to live. God gives us the right to own without anybody taking it from us. God gives us the right to not be owned. They give themselves the right to own us by saying, hey, if you labor, I get to take it. If you own a home, I get to keep it. If you go and you own a vehicle, you can't move on your own property unless you get my permission. Hey, you can't buy a gun if you don't get my permission. So we do not have the right to bear arms anymore because they no longer respect that right.
I just heard today that the U.S. Supreme Court voided out all laws, all laws that are required to have a weapon. Now, I don't know how true that is yet, but I only heard it from one source. We'll see what happens on that.
Well, the only one that believes that so far is Clarence Thomas. He's always said, even when you get out of, when you've served your sentence, even for a felony, you are back to being innocent. He's absolutely correct, and he said, once you're done, you can vote. You have the right to bear arms. He's the only one, but he's got six other people that one of them doesn't even know what the definition of a woman is, so that's our Supreme Court. But that's not really my point. My point here is that here's the issue that I want to make to everybody here. Now, I don't want to argue with anybody. I just want to make a point. It's the truth. It's not Terry's truth. It is the truth. The problem is that we do not know who our enemy is, and we do not know who we are. And that's what I want to say to everybody here. The problem is that if I asked you guys here, you couldn't tell me who we are, and you couldn't tell me who our enemy is. And I can say it to you guys if you'd like to hear it, but maybe you already know it. Do you know the answer, John?
Well, I do believe I do know it. I know who I am. I'm a son of God.
No, when I say we, the people, who we don't know who we the people are. And we don't know who the enemy of we the people are.
Well, we are the lawmakers. We the people established the law. We ordained and established the law to control them. That's who we are. And they are to be under that law and obedient to that law. We are the masters, and they are the servants. I mean,
The servant is not our enemy unless they're writing laws, which they are. They do not have any right to write laws. They only have to go by the laws of God, which are the laws of right.
Right.
And
well,
that is the problem. The only time that there is an exception to that is like with the President of the United States. That's a contract. When he goes in there, he agrees that this is what I'm going to abide by as president. But there is no law of right for how the president acts. That's a contract that he signs, and he may give up some rights to be the president at the time, as employees do give up their rights. When they're employed, they're no longer a citizen, they're an employee. My point is that we don't know who we the people are, because the employees are also we the people. The problem with we the people is that some of those employees, and I'm saying every public employee and every bar lawyer, is guilty because they are no longer following the laws of right. They are following the laws that they write.
Well, when you say the laws of right, that ultimately brings us to the rules of common law.
It does not for me, John.
Let me just make a point here. The rules of common law is what governs all law. It governs natural law, because ultimately it's called common sense, with an eye on justice. That's what common law is, and that's the rules. We're governed by maxims, okay? Truths that cannot be denied, self-evident truths. You know, water does not run uphill. Nobody can argue that point. All men are created equal. No one could really argue that point. I mean, they make that point, they try to make that point, but it's irrelevant. It doesn't stand. It will not stand. Okay? So the rules of common law is what governs all things. That's what gives us the power and the authority to negate something, the power of nullification. Why do we have the nullification? Because we, the people, are the sovereign, the true sovereign in this on the land, okay? The true sovereign of the universe, of course, is the governor of the universe, God himself. And he has empowered us to have authority over our government, okay? And for our government to obey the law of the land, which is the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's the covenant made that we, the people, made with God under the Declaration of Independence. It was a lot more than just the fact that we made statement for the world to know. No, we took control over things. And then what do we do? Constitution. We the people ordained and established this Constitution for your obedience. And one of the things is that there are six directives that we've given government. And one of the six directives is a commandment for them to secure the blessings of liberty. Anything and everything they do, they need to make sure whatever they're doing is securing the blessings of liberty. Okay? So again, we're the lawmakers. Now, God is the ultimate lawmakers. We're under his law. We're not under the laws of men. Okay? But when it comes to equity, okay, people who are operating under commercial activities, interstate commercial activities, for instance, on the federal level, or they're working for a government agency, well, they're under regulations, they're under statutes, and so on and so forth. And now, if there's a criminal act to be applied upon that person, you know, ultimately they are tried in a court where there is a judge that makes the decision, but which is one person. And then, of course, there's the tribunals. You can make the appeals and all the other stuff. But when it comes criminal for those individuals, if one of those individuals is held criminally responsible, then that whole system moves over into a court of law, and they are judged by a jury of their peers, 12 individuals. But those 12 individuals have the power of nullification. If they don't like that statute, they can nullify it. And if they didn't like the regulations that they were under, they can nullify it. They can nullify anything the government says or tries to claim that they're guilty of this or that or the other thing. You see, statutes do not give you due process. You can't have due process from a statute. You know, and the judge takes control of the jury all the time, especially in tax cases. You know, if the person did this, that, or the other thing, if they broke this law, he'll read the law, he'll define it, and if they broke it, you have to find them guilty. So you're guilty, you're done. Because there is no due process in that. So, but anyway, I agree with your points, but again, we are under the laws of nature and nature's God, and government is supposed to be under our laws, what we ordained, what we established.
So you don't think there are the laws of right?
Well, that is the laws of right. The laws of God is the laws of right, and if we're not having an eye on justice, then we're not on the laws of right.
Well, and my point is not to argue with you,
define the laws of right. Give me a definition of the laws of right.
Okay, the laws of right are, one, the most basic foundation, every human being, every sentient animal has the right to be born and live. That's the very most fundamental law of right given to us by God, and it's given to us at conception.
Right,
Number two, you want me to finish or not?
No, but I wanted to add that to you. Yeah, I want you to continue. Go ahead.
Okay. Second, the law of property ownership. Everybody here has the right to own. and to own without it being stolen or having somebody go through here and take part of that here and force you to pay on what you own already.
Right, and your property.
You have the right to not be owned, which is slavery. And what they've done is by saying, hey, when you labor, I can take money from you. That is a lifetime slavery. It starts at conception. If you go look on the usdebtclock.org website, every person here in this conversation owes $370,070 here. Each person owes to our government, which is not even possible because they're not an entity. The government is we the people. So we are now hostages to our servants because they've wrote a law to say, if you labor, I can take it. That is a law of slavery. Then we have the law of free speech.
Hold on. Let me tell you something, too, and then you can continue. You know, when you talk about property, I want to make a point here, and I think you might agree with it. Your first piece of property is your person, your body. That's your first piece of property.
Right. Right.
And you're responsible for that to maintain that property in a moral fashion. And that you owe to God, but not to man. Okay, but the bottom line is that's your first piece of property. When you're talking about the laws of right, everything you said so far falls under the laws of nature and of nature's God, so it's the same thing. But go ahead.
No, it's semantics. It doesn't matter. My problem here is with everybody going with common and natural law, they don't know what it means, but when I say to somebody the law of right, and people are always going to argue that you do not have the law of right to be born. Those are the people that are pro-abortion. That you're not aborting something. You're terminating a life is what you are. So the lie is that's not a child. That's not a human being. That's scientifically it's a lie. It's a lie of truth.
What you're defining ultimately, I think, is really the Bill of Rights. You know, the Bill of Rights is the ruler to interpret everything else in the Constitution. Anything that violates the Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights extends further than, of course, what we have here. But the bottom line, again, everything you talked about is in here. It is a right to due process, a right to life, liberty, a right to many, many things. You know, control over your whole own body.
Very important, though, John, is they skipped the very most important one, the right to be born and live. And I think the reason that they skipped is they never thought that we would go through here and murder our own children en masse.
Well, look, anybody that faces truth, okay, that's life. God is very clear. First of all, God talks about people being before they're even in inception, before they even are in the belly of their mother, God speaks of them as being. You know, you go into the Old Testament, God speaks of people that aren't even born yet. And he refers also, I think, in the book of Romans, with those who are not even born yet. Once that child is in the womb and they take that life, that's murder. No matter how you put it, that's just
Here's something that's very important with that. What they've done, and when I say they, I'm talking every public servant, and I'm talking teachers to the janitor at the Supreme Court, I'm talking to the President of the United States, both past and present. What they've done is they've sanctioned mothers, doctors, and corporations to do mass murder and to slaughter those children and sell them on the marketplace, and just like cattle or pigs or sheep. And our government has sanctioned that. So, yes, of course, the mothers, the doctors, and the corporations are also guilty. But who sanctioned that? So they're only doing the same thing as what the Jews did, or what the Nazis did with the Jews. They sanctioned murder for somebody they claimed was not really human life, Jews. And we've done the same thing with our children before they're born. And now they're even doing it here in Minnesota. It's happened 8 times.
This traces back to Babylon, okay?
It does. Gomorrah and Babylon. They were throwing children and sacrificing them and letting them fall down the temples. Exactly. And we do it in mass. We do it in mass here in the United States.
Let me say finish my point on that, okay? Look, it goes back to Babylon, which is the law that these people have brought us under. You know, they say we're under Roman law. Roman law came about, which is also referred to as civil law. But Roman law comes from Justinian law, which is just repackaged Babylonian law, okay? So it goes all the way back. It's the law of the city, the law of the slaves, to control the people, to fleece the people for money, okay? And also to have maintained control. Now, all of that, and God is very clear at the end of the world, and we are at the end of the world, that it would be like Sodom and like Gomorrah. So we're a Sodom and Gomorrah. Look, you just go on YouTube and open up a YouTube page, and if you're honest with yourself, there's Sodom and Gomorrah right there. And the same thing, when you kill a baby in a womb, that's murder. You know, people have been demoralized so bad. I remember having conversations with these young girls one time, and we talked, and they thought, wow, they have a right to abortion and this, that, and the other thing. And they couldn't comprehend the fact that it was murder. They were killing a life, okay? But that's where we're at. That's the problem. Look, at the Bible is crystal clear. The hearts of men is desperately wicked. Who could know it? Unless we are controlled by morality, by the morals, to believe and that we need to do the right thing, okay, which brings it back to the word the right, what is right. But we have a right to life. We have a right to liberty. And that's in the Bill of Rights. Okay?
And we have a right to birth. And we have a right to birth.
That's, of course, that's a right to life.
No, but I mean, they don't understand. That's where in the Declaration of Independence, I wish they had put that in there, but I don't think they could conceive of the fact that America would ever go through and you know, sacrifice en masse their own children. I don't think that they contemplated that.
Nature, and of nature's God, it lays right inside there, because animals don't kill their own children, okay? Generally speaking, there might be some kind of a wacko thing or something, a bad thing inside of a mind of, you know, in the brain of an
animal. Lions and gorillas do, but they're animals. They're not sentient beings with morality or with a soul. So, yeah, we are not animals, and the problem is that our public servants and our bar lawyers are acting as animals, sanctioning mass murder, and they're sanctioning slaughter and selling of the human remains of the babies that they slaughter. And that is an actual fact. It is a truth.
Is that baby in the womb a life?
Say again?
The baby in the womb, is that a life?
What, you're asking me? Why? Why are you asking me?
Because it's making the point that the right to life goes right into the womb.
No, the right to life is, first of all, my point is you have the right to be born and live. Not just the right to be, not just the right to life, you have the right to be born and then live afterwards.
Common sense with an eye on justice will bring you to the conclusion that you don't have a right to kill that baby. Even God speaks about, you know, the baby in the womb. Like I said, you know, if you go back into when the Jews came out of Egypt. No, what was it? Egypt? No, let me think. Oh no, when they went into Egypt, 430 years, and God speaks of four individuals going down into Egypt, and those four individuals haven't been born yet. Okay, they're in the mind of God. Okay, so he already lays it out. People could be taught this and again, that is the main reason, I think, right there, is the main reason the Bible needs to get back into the schools. We're not talking about teaching things out of anything but the doctrines of Christ. That's what we're talking about, morals in the Bible. That's what was taught in the schools, and that was removed, okay? And they brought all this other craziness in, you know? But in any event, I agree with you on right, but what I'm trying to say, the law of right and the laws of nature's God, I think, is the same thing.
Yeah, but they are the same thing, but the problem is people don't know what the right of common law is, and they don't know what... But everybody will say, well, that's I know my rights. People don't know what common law is, and they don't know what natural law is, which is why I call it the law of right. And it's a law given to by God, and given every human being at conception. You have that right to be born, and so you have the right to free speech was my next one. And that speech, what's that?
I agree with all that. And I'm just, and you know, look, you have to teach children right from wrong, period, okay? Whether you use the word right, or you use the word the right to life, or you use the word laws of nature, of nature's God, it's all the same thing, and it is all common sense with an eye on justice. All of it is the same. But anyway, I'll give you another minute to finish up. We've got two other people, and we don't have too much time left.
Yeah, and I don't mean to take up time, and if you want me to cut short, but what I'm trying to say is that I think we're all divided here, and not on purpose, but I've heard from the person that was in California there is, you know, she's upset, and we are at a massive time here where I do think we're going to have another war of 1861, but I think that we need to understand who our enemy is and who we the people are, and this is my final point. I'll just end with this. The whole point here is to restore justice back to the innocent, and that's what we've forgotten. I'm not trying to insult you, John, but that's why I made a real strong point on the fact that you said the innocent have to be cleared.
Huh? You have to define innocent, too.
Well, I can define innocent, and I've done that in my writs, and actually I sent you...
Can you give me one or two sentences that defines innocence?
Yeah, an innocent person who has not violated a right of God, or a person who has done that, they've committed a crime, and the crime, I can define a crime if you'd like. A person that has committed a crime and then served the sentence and paid back their dues for that crime. That person, once they're done with that, you know, either paying somebody back, or if they murdered somebody, there's no way to pay that back, then it's just life or, you know, death, life in jail.
There's only one person, okay, in all of time that is innocent, and that is Jesus Christ. All of us are guilty of sin. So, I mean, if you're going to go down to that...
You're making an equation. You asked me what an innocent person is. There's two types of innocent. There is a person who's innocent of sin, and you're right. There's only one person that was ever innocent of sin, but There's also the innocent when it comes to crimes. A sin against another person is a crime. A sin against yourself is not a crime. So I need to differentiate which innocent you're referring to. If you want to talk about Jesus Christ being innocent,
But now that you're into that definition area, that, again, has to be taught. Okay, it must be taught. You must teach children morality. Look at other nations are not like the United States. The United States is the most giving nation in the world. And I tell you what, money's real tight for everybody. People just don't seem to give at all because I guess things are just that tough. But I, you know, years ago, people always given. You know, the churches used to give. They would take in orphans, and they would send out people to be adopted, you know, get people to adopt these children and so on and so forth. And there's all kinds of things that have taken place, and we were more given. We were more morally minded. But our children haven't been taught morals anymore. And that's why we have such a mess. But whatever it is, you have to teach people right from wrong. They have to be taught that. And that's morals to begin with. But whether you call it rights or, you know, well, it is rights, the right to life, okay? I think that goes all the way down into the womb and all the way to the last day in this world until you just die naturally. You have that right to life, okay? A right to liberty, to be free. You know, we have all the rights that we've laid down, and then we have a lot more rights than that. This is just the beginning of our rights. Our rights are endless, ultimately, to some degree. We have a right to travel. That's not written in the Bill of Rights, but it's clear because why? They don't have the power or the authority to write law to govern our behavior. And that's the key to the whole thing. They have no right to do anything to govern us in any way. They are to maintain the law, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. Okay, obviously we do want people who are killing people to be arrested and put in jail and tried and let the people decide what the necessity of justice is for that person. But I think we agree more. It's just a matter of different words, that's all. And I think that if you teach the Constitution, you're going to teach the right to life and logic. Common sense will bring us down to that life in the womb. No one had to teach me that. I knew that it's right to kill a baby in the womb. You know, I remember when I was a kid that you know, there was a case or a situation I heard about that where a person was murdered and they were pregnant. And they were tried for two murders, the murder of the woman and the murder of the baby. Okay? And that's going back in the 50s. Yeah, I was very young then. But again, I think we agree more than anything else. I think it's just a matter of using different words.
So what I'm trying to say here tonight is that we've got to stop debating on, you know, which group is doing what and realize who the enemy is. And I can say that nobody here is the enemy, because if we don't understand who the enemy is and who we the people are and who's the enemy of we the people, and I'll even be a little bit more defined here, it's we the innocent. And the enemy of we the innocent is those that refuse to defend the innocent. And that's what I'm trying to say tonight. We can debate on, you know, common law versus the law of right and the law of wrong. I've defined what a criminal is. I've defined what a crime is. I've defined what an innocent is and those writs that I was going to send you. I also, what I did send you, and then I'll end with this, is I sent you it was a transcript from a lawyer or from the judge here, and they said that I do not have the right of free speech to defend myself in a court of their law. And I gave that to the Appeals Court of Minnesota, and I also gave it to the Supreme Court. And they all ruled that, you know, their law that says, hey, we do not have free speech in a court, we do not have the right to defend ourselves in a court with their statutes. And that's who our enemy is. It's not me. It's not John Duresh. It's not whoever it was from California. And I doubt there's a person here that's my enemy. What I'm saying to us is if we don't get our... here's what I want to say to you, John. It's really important to me, and then I'll quit.
Yeah, make it a little quick, because we only got a few minutes.
I will make this very quick. We are trying to petition the people that are our enemy to stop going through and murdering us, and to stop going through and making us hostages, and to stop kidnapping us.
Yeah, but
and, and what I'm saying is we can't beg to the people that are the criminals that are actually sanctioning murder, sanctioning lifetime slavery, and sanctioning war against the innocent, which they are doing.
And that's the courts and the judges.
And that is all the courts, and then the bar lawyers are the ones that are sanctioning all these things and operating on their laws, not on quo warranto and default. They are not operating on... gave them the right of quo warranto, which is to go through and to prosecute people that violated God's rights. Law of right, and that's what we give them the authority to do. We did not ever give them the authority, hence my questions at the very beginning. Did we give them the authority to go through and prosecute the innocent, or did we give them the authority to go through and prosecute those that have violated right? They are the ones that are violating the laws of right. They are violating the law of the right to be born. They are violating the law to own. They are owning us, and that's Harry, what I'm trying to say. Everybody here,
Harry. Okay, we got to move on. There's two people.
That was my point, and I wanted to finish that point, John.
Your point has been very clear from the beginning. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with the basic principle, but changing words, well, if that's what you want to do, I mean, we have the Constitution, the Bill of Rights.
I didn't want to change words, ever. I never said I wanted to change words. I never asserted that. I never made that statement. That's your assertion. I've never wanted to change words.
Harry, we can talk some more next week. We got two people. We got 3 minutes left now.
Yeah, but why are you mad at me? I don't understand why you're mad at me.
I'm not mad at you. You're not hearing. We got to move on.
I am hearing very much. I did not ever argue about words. I told you I don't want to argue about words. I never wanted to change any words. Don't put words in my mouth.
Okay. We got to move on. We could talk some more next week if you want. But I got to move on. Okay? Thanks for the call. All right, we'll take. I'll stick with the next two callers till we get through them. But next question, 916 area code. What's your first name and your state?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay, perfect. My name is Shauna. I am in California. I actually sent an email to intake today, outlining some stuff, but I just wanted to make a comment on a few things. First of all, on that guy's Redemption Center, I have to assume that has to do with, like, Nsara, Jassara, the QFS. I'm assuming that's what they're talking about in regards to Redemption Center, so Google ain't going to give you the answer to that. In regards to abortion, it's ball sacrifice. In regards to the Constitution and the lawyers and stuff, even the Clarence Thomas said that even in his constitutional class at Harvard, they did not teach the Constitution. He even said that in a speech.
I know.
So I think that's, you know, the huge issue. But my personal issue is I've been down many rabbit holes. I was a nurse. It started when they, like, attacked healthcare. Bad thing to attack for me, because then I started questioning everything. So I've been all down all these different rabbit holes, and I've learned that banks are a lie. Mortgage is a lie. That's all a fraud. You can send a revocation of election to avoid your taxes. You can, you know, change your status and stuff. And I went through all those steps. I became a state national. I filed, you know, a whole bunch of documents with the county, and you can do it through Eddy County, and they don't like, you just mail it to them. You know, they only charge for the filing fee of $25. I think, like, on State Nationals Rocks, they say, like, you can use iRecord. That's just super expensive when you can just mail it to them directly yourself. But my point is I have a judge here in El Dorado County who keeps ruling against me. And since the beginning, I have been sending him notices, like, you know, validate what you're, like, doing. Like, that's all I've ever asked for is, like, validate. You say it's debt. But since I've known that the finance system, like, the Federal Reserve is a lie from the get-go, like, slowly going through all these rabbit holes, I've just started to let go of things, and I quit paying things like that. It's not that I bit off more than I could chew, but when, I mean, I'm not going to, like, support a lie. And so, I keep sending him, or sending the court, validate it. Well, I got sick of that, and so then I asked for proof of jurisdiction, proof of oath of office, and bond information. They sent that back to me, too. And then I did it again. The best speech Trump ever gave in 2017, he had the military behind him. He was given military power. So Jerry Reed says to contact the JAG. I did that. They said they can't help me if I'm not military affiliate. And so I did that. And then, like,
listen, this is the problem. You're living in a fiction. We've all been living in a fiction, and a lot of people haven't woken up enough yet to see that. And one day it's going to become very clear to the entire world how much of a fiction we've been living in, how much they've been hiding from us. There are no courts of justice. That's the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, is
to fight.
But they're
trying to levy my account, and then, also because I started, like, I sent a thing to question the bank, asking them to, like, show me their original contract and stuff. And they refused. Like, I almost got attacked by three different banks that hold, like, my mortgage, my mom's mortgage, which has my name on it, and then my car's. Questioning validation. And now they're, instead of stopping and ceasing and desisting and an act of deceit, like they're supposed to do, I'm literally being attacked. They're sending a truck out to get my car, and they've already tried, like, sent me a letter of default to take my house. And that ended on the 15th, so I don't know what the next move is. They're saying they can accept. I'm not being heard by the courts.
I had to mute you so I could talk to you, because did they seize your money from your account? Is that what they did, and who did it? Who seized the money? I'm going to unmute you now.
I don't have my active banking account with that bank. There was no money for them to seize.
Okay, but they were trying to do that. Listen to me. They were trying to do that, correct?
Yeah, they tried to do it.
What you will find, okay, it's in their law, not that they obeyed their law, but sometimes they do, but it's kind of weird. But in any event, if the bank has some kind of a lien upon you that's coming from any place, especially the IRS, okay, they have to serve you notice of that lien, that they're going to give their money or to the, you know, the government agency, or whatever the case may be. And you need to respond within those so many days and deny it, and they can't do it.
I did. Now, I did. I asked the court for jurisdiction again, and then I sent notice to the sheriff's office who was trying to levy my thing. They don't have jurisdiction over me. I told them why, and I sent, like, you know, okay, my Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act to them, my trademark, my transgression fee schedule, my deed of reconveyance. Like, I sent all that to them. And then when I called the lady to make sure that they stopped it, she says, she just acted kind of like dumbfounded, like she didn't understand.
All right, look, I had to mute you again because you're going on too long. You're not giving me a chance to respond to some of this stuff. And look, let me just be blunt with you. You're not going to get satisfaction in a court. You're going up against the status quo. They're going to maintain the status quo. Okay, the sheriff doesn't know the law himself. There's very few. I've only met a couple of sheriffs that know the law. Two, as a matter of fact, that's it. Two sheriffs. Well, actually, that's not true because I met, can't think of his name. So there's three sheriffs. Three sheriffs I've met that know the law, okay? And it's even hard for them to really uphold the law because once they uphold the law, they become the enemy to the process, okay? And it's a problem for them too, all right? So you're not going to get anywhere in the courts. The bottom line is we got to fix the courts, and that's what we're trying to do, okay? And I think we'd have a good opportunity to do it, but it requires people to be behind what we're doing. You know, they got to be put on notice, and it's seen everywhere, all right? And the way we've written our papers, hopefully it does. And we're copying, of course, the administration and a few other individuals that are in Congress that are good people. And hopefully we can accomplish that goal. I do think we have a good chance to do it. I think the timing is right, but we'll see what happens. But you're up against the status quo. Some of the things that you said you did is not necessarily the thing that anybody has to do. You don't have to make any statements to make yourself free. You're one of the people. You were born free. Now, they've tried to keep you in their statutory prison, and that's what they've done to everyone, and we're trying to break loose of that. That's the problem. We've been living in a fiction. We've been living in a fiction all our lives. And a lot of people still haven't really woken up to all that yet. So it's difficult. Let me unmute you so you can make your final statement, and we've got to end for the night. But go ahead if you want to make a final statement.
Can I just get, like, some advice on how to stop, like, a foreclosure? I mean, I'm going against the system, and I shouldn't have to lose
tax foreclosure
my home because I...
Is it a mortgage foreclosure?
Listen to me. I even tried to sue, and they sent them back to me. They sent the papers back to me.
Listen, is it a mortgage foreclosure or a
yes.
tax? Huh?
Yes.
A mortgage foreclosure.
All this, they sent me a default. They're trying to repossess my car. All while this was being disputed. Like, this started back March 11th, and I'm not paying because they're not showing me proof they own anything or gave me any consideration.
How long have you been fighting it in court?
Well, for something previous, like I told you, little by little, I've been letting things go. Because it's all fake, and so the previous court things were about two credit cards.
How many months, how many years have you been fighting this in court?
Well, not the mortgage, but the credit cards and stuff for a year now.
If you're coming in with a mortgage foreclosure, how long have you been battling that in court, and what court are you in? Are you in a town court, a village court, a county court? What court are you in?
Well, so far they just sent me a notice of default, and that default was like something going in, like they're going to proceed with an accelerated foreclosure. I didn't even know they could do that after the 15th because I was trying to take it to court, and the courts are literally sending me back my paperwork, even for that one.
Listen to me. They make those things up. One of the problems that you have to deal with is, do you know how the court system works? Do you know what due process is? Do you know how to work through due process in the court? Do you know the procedure?
I know that my due process rights have been violated right and left, and they're not following any of that.
But that's not going to get you anywhere. I'm trying to tell you something. Look, there is a way you can slow it down, but you have to know how to navigate around the courts to slow it down. You know, I've been involved in a lot of people who have foreclosures, mostly on mortgage foreclosures, but also some from tax foreclosures. And once you navigate through the courts in a proper way, you know, people have been in their homes 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years still battling. And you see, because what they're doing is what's called a non-judicial foreclosure. There's no such thing as a judicial foreclosure because it's all unlawful. And you have to be able to lay that out in a case. We've laid that out in a number of cases. Maybe if you come, I can maybe get you an example of that. But having the example, you still need to know how to navigate the courts.
Now, well, is there someone who can maybe reach out to me and just tell me? I don't mind doing all work. I don't mind putting all the work behind it. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a healer, and I do not want to.
You want to learn how to navigate the courts, you have to take a course. We have a 90-hour course. You can go to college and learn. It's a 60-hour course. It'll cost you about $13,000 or something like that. I forget what it is. I think it's $2,600 a credit. And the course to go through court process and procedure, I think it's 5 credits, so you could do the math. Okay. We give a course that's a 90-hour course, and our course is... I think it's $125. And, you know, you go online, right on our front page if you want to do that. This will teach you how to...
I'm going to do it, but I was scared because of the way they said accelerated and stuff. Like, I don't want to lose my home because I'm questioning the system. I'm already like a big joke to everybody in my family because I'm the conspiracy theorist. It seems to always be right, by the way. But again,
you're getting very excited over this, and you're trying to battle it, and you're trying to tell them what your rights are. They don't care what your rights are. You're not going to get anywhere with the battle you're making. You know, you made mention about something that you filed some papers with the county, and you became... What was it that you filed for what?
I filed a bunch of papers with the county for, like, trademark transgression. Here in El Dorado County, they won't let me file anything. So far, everything I tried to file,
none of that's going to work in the courts. I've been through all of that myself. I went as far because I was trying to figure these things out, and I was listening to people online, and all they were doing leading me into silliness and stupidity, in my opinion. And then I just went and did my own research, okay? And I've learned the law and the process, the procedures, and how things work. There is a first of all, you have to understand how they're committing a crime through a nonjudicial foreclosure. Now, any foreclosure is a nonjudicial foreclosure, okay? Because there's no lawful legal way for them to actually foreclose on you, okay? And it's only a matter of making it look as if you go into a court, and ultimately it's just the process that appears. It's a facade is what it is. Okay, now you could lay out how the law is broken on that, and then they have to battle that. They have to follow up and deny that. Whatever you file in court, they have to deny, and then they have to show proof that it's in opposition, whatever it is that they're relying on. Okay. But you have to get into that debate and argument in the court. But you're arguing with the judge instead of arguing with the people that are trying to foreclose on you. That's the people.
Oh, I've been to the people who've had to foreclose on me, too. And I have been done lots of notices, too, and it's getting me nowhere either.
Listen to me. If you write down, okay, and lay out the crime that is being committed by their foreclosure, if you understand.
John, I did, and I sent it to them. If you have intake.gov, you can see what I sent them. I did that.
What did you tell them?
I told them how they can't get consideration because the bank can't loan their own stocks. I talked about factual reserves. I talked about how...
It's not the law, though. It's not the words. Look, next week I'll try to dig up something for you next week, and maybe I'll drop it off to you somewhere. So I'll just send it on email, and you can get an example. But I want to tell you something. You have to know how to navigate the courts. Once you file a paper against the opposition, they have to respond to that. And if you do it in affidavit form, an affidavit rules the court. Not that they are obedient to this, but it causes a problem with them. And it causes them to try to figure out what they're going to do next with you. What are they going to move from there? But the other side has got to argue your points that you've made. And if they don't argue the point and deny the point, then they acquiesce. And then you can use that as a position of leverage in the court. You have to understand how the system works. Now, at the end of the day, you're not going to win, because they just are relentless with this, and they're going to take you home because that's what they want to do. It's money, and they want to get it into their pockets. And that's just the way it is. Now, we're trying to change that. But you can fight the battle and really slow down the process, literally to years instead of months or weeks. People who have no clue in what's going on, and they bring in no lawyer, within a couple of months your home is gone, because you just don't know what to do. But you have to understand the process and the procedure they're operating under. It's a federal crime, and at some point you can move it into the federal courts. Not that they're going to give you justice, because if they learned from the federal courts, they turn to civil law because the federal courts turn to civil law because there's money to be made there.
So this is the problem. About that Bessett and David Steiner and to the DOGA and to the Supreme Court and to President Trump.
Look at even JAG. They're not going to do nothing for you. We've sent some real serious papers to JAG, and they don't do nothing. They don't respond. They look, they're just as lost as everyone else. Maybe they can't respond. You know, they're restrained somehow. Maybe I don't know, but the bottom, you know, this is something that's been going on for a long, long time. Like I said, people have been living in a fiction, and they don't even know it. The reality is not the way they're seeing things. We're under a fiction. And it's being exposed right now. Trump is exposing a lot of it. And one day it's just going to be like a floodgates opened, and the exposure is going to be very clear. It's going to shock a lot of people how serious this problem is. Okay? And again, we're battling from a different perspective. And we're trying to get our information to the administration because we want the administration to back us up. And I do believe they understand what we're doing, and I do believe that they are behind what we're doing because they see the problem. You know, look what Trump has gone through, okay? Look what a lot of people that was, you know, with Trump and what they have gone through in the courts. You know, Giuliani and many, many other people. What's that general's name also? Same thing, you know, they destroyed them financially, okay?
General Flynn?
Huh?
General Flynn?
Flynn, yeah, Flynn, that's another one. There's a lot of people, they know the courts are corrupt. These judges belong in jail. Now, we're trying to set the stage for the paperwork right now, okay? And we've been working on this for a long, long time, you know? In any event, I can give you some paperwork on this, but just writing it up and laying it in and not knowing what to do with it and where to go from there, and how at some point to go through the appellate and eventually into the federal courts. And it's a matter of just wasting time and holding on to your home as long as you can, because that's all you're going to be able to do.
Okay, let me ask you a question, though. If a state is part of the case, and since it's the courts and stuff that is a problem, they're the state, doesn't it automatically become the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court?
Well, what court are you in, by the way? What's
well,
the,
I sent the ones that they sent me back, the lawsuits, I sent them to the Superior Court, but they're not going to.
But what... What court are they using to try to take your home? Is it a town court?
I haven't gotten court papers yet. They just sent me a thing saying that they could do this accelerated thing, and I'm like, that's illegal. Like, all of this is illegal, and so why does it matter? Well, legal meaning,
well,
I've got anyway.
Look, I can imagine them doing something like that. I personally haven't heard of anything like that, but that means you got to do some research now. What are they talking about? Okay, and so you need to do research on that. Strategy that they're using, okay?
I looked up the state laws for the court, and that's not in it. So,
what state are you in
again?
Well,
in regards to foreclosure, like there's a process they have to do, but I'm noticing nobody does the processes they're supposed to do anyway. So,
there's no such thing as a judicial process to do what they're doing. They're doing it through what's called a non-judicial foreclosures. That's what they do. Taxes are all non-judicial foreclosures. They give the appearances of being in court. They use the courtroom. They use the judges. But at the end of the day, the record is not really the way it should appear.
Okay, and help me slow it down, then I'll put in the work to learning and researching and doing everything. I have no problem with that. I help slowing it down.
The first thing you got to do is research that one point, what they had mentioned. What was it they had called it?
Accelerated foreclosure.
Right. You have to figure out what the heck they're talking about, because I don't know what they're talking about. That means
I
you
don't
gotta,
either. Like, I looked and it didn't say it.
Listen, you start off with just a search engine and see what you can find with that label on it. And you're probably not going to find much of anything. But then you can go to Grok, okay? Grok is, you know, look, AI is going to be the destruction of mankind, in my opinion, but it's there, and it's powerful, and you can use it. It's amazing when the things that I have found on Grok. If I had Grok 15 years ago, when I started doing and researching and doing a lot of these things, I probably could have accomplished what I've accomplished a lot quicker because that's how powerful it is. But you can ask Rock about that, and you can put the words in the paragraph that they used, that they sent to you. Matter of fact, you can run your paper through your copy machine and put it into your computer, and then just drop it to Grok and ask them, what are they talking about with this phrase, you know? And, Grok might be able to answer it very quickly. I think it will, to be honest with you. It's a pretty powerful program. I know there are other AIs, too, but Grok is the only one that stays on your computer that I know of. You know, if you go to these other AIs, you're up on the cloud. Everything you're searching, everything you're doing is up on the cloud. With Grok, it doesn't go up on the cloud. It goes into your computer under your C drive. And so anyway, that's where you'd want to go maybe and ask the question, what does this mean? Okay? And then you can do the battle. You see, a lot of problems a lot of people make is they don't understand a lot of things. That maybe it's a phrase that they use. They don't really understand, or they don't look up the law that they're quoting or something. In order to battle anything, you need to understand what their position is, what their thinking is. So you have to look those things up, and you have to understand what they're actually saying. And then once you understand it, then you can potentially build and debate against that, and do it in an affidavit form. And then you can require them, you look at this as hearsay, you know, they're telling me this, and they're saying that, and they're doing this, and they're claiming that, but it's not an affidavit form, you know. You can deny everything, and they have to argue against your affidavit, and if they don't, then they acquiesce. But again, that's the real law. Not that that's going to help you win. The only thing it's going to do is buy you more time. And hopefully the problems will be fixed. They're already talking, Trump administration already talking about the unlawfulness of, for instance, tax on your home. When they can't really, at that point, that it's all unlawful. The whole mortgage system is a sham, and it's unlawful the way they've set the system up and how things work. And you can, there's a federal case you can lay out on that, okay? But at some point in time, you know, all this unlawful stuff, I do think, is going to be eventually overturned. You're going to be able, it's not going to be there anymore. So you will need to hold your home as long as you can, but you have to be able to fight the battle to slow them down. But if you don't know how to slow them down, it's like a runaway train. They're just going to railroad you in and take you home within months or whatever the case may be. That's what it is.
You know, the problem with the system is judges can write bonds on your name ruling against you. And as long as there's money, and that's with prisons too. Prisons are for profit, not for justice. And as long as everything stays that way, nothing's ever going to be right.
I think what you're talking about is SSQ accounts maybe. I don't know. I don't know about the language you used concerning write bonds against you. I don't understand that. But
they
know,
write bonds against you.
Well, again,
they write bonds against you.
There's an SQ account that's set up, and maybe there's some procedure or something. I really don't know. I don't get
too
deep.
It goes to the CRIS account.
But
the CRIS system.
It's all unlawful anyway. I'm telling you, you're going to lose your home. It's a matter of how long you can keep it. And maybe by the time, I think it's going to be pretty soon, a year or two maybe at the most. Whereas all that stuff, they're not going to be able to do it no more. Because the whole process they use is an unlawful process. It's a federal offense. I'll try to get to send you, give you a copy of that next Monday if you come on and ask for it.
I was the one who asked the question about the banks and you said you didn't know. So whoever answers that, Carl, I think, or whoever, they have my email.
I don't understand. What did you say?
Because there was, you know, at the beginning he said that, like, you know, can I ask a question about the banks? That was me. So they have my email if somebody maybe could email me something.
Okay, well, I'll let me see, because I got his email. Let me see where I wrote that down. Hang on a second. And what I'll do is I'll email him and give him your phone number, because I can see your phone number here.
Whoever has the questions at National...
The person that was asking for that, I got his email.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I see your phone number here. You've called in on a phone. You didn't come in on an app or a browser. You've come in on a phone, right? Yeah, so let me write your phone number down, and I'll send your phone number to him. He'll give you a call, and you guys can talk. Maybe he's got some solutions for you, too. Let me see if I can find something quick right now. Hang on a minute. Let me just finish your phone number. Okay. This is under education starts here. You come under that, and you get to you click on law, and then you go over to forms, court forms and process. Let me see if there's something in here. There may be something in here on non-judicial foreclosures.
I printed out the memorandum on the non-judicial foreclosure, and I sent that with my paperwork to the courts too. So
they don't care.
Yeah,
you have to know how to battle it, and you have to be able. Look at whatever they say. You got to.
I can't battle if I can't be heard.
But if you can't neutralize what the opposition is saying, they're going to railroad you. But once you make, once you can do something to upset the, what they're trying to do, it just extends the conversation. And look at, they do have a process over 4 or 5 years. Meanwhile, they're working in the background playing games with moving your property already. And people don't realize. And like I said, they always win, you know. I don't know anybody that's ever won against them, but you can hold them off for a long time. And holding them off for a long time, and if we get just courts back, then that'll all be gone, you know. Okay, let me see if I see anything in here. Under, this is
yeah,
a note.
John.
Memorandums, yeah.
I think she meant that I have her email so that you could
that
email
one.
Her stuff.
The guy who works with you guys, he
yeah.
But he has it, the question.
Yeah, I have it. I can give it to
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then I'll let it go that way then. All right, that brings us to the end. I'll try to get something to you. Jen, I'll try to send you a copy of a paper for non-judicial foreclosure, and then maybe you can forward that to her.
Okay. Sounds
well,
good.
I'll do that tomorrow sometime.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to end our program. We're way, way over line time. So, all right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
See you next Monday, hopefully. Good night.